John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we will finish up this chapter this morning, and then tonight being chapter 2. We're going to read a pretty big section of Scripture here. We're going to be looking at one thing specifically. We begin in verse 39. Let's begin in verse 39. He saith unto them... Let's go back to 38. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He said unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. Boy, how exciting that had to be to hear those words. We found him. He's here. Okay? And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and said unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. I want you to notice this, that they know who he is, and they are trusting in who he is. While so many and the Pharisees wanted to deny, didn't want him to be the Messiah, The wise ones here, what did they do? You know, we too often we think about the wise men in Scripture. The wise men were not just those who sought Christ after he was born. Okay? Every time in Scripture or today when someone comes face to face with who Jesus Christ is, and they repent of their sin and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of their sin and the salvation of their soul, that makes you a wise man or woman. Because it would be foolish to doubt him. It would be foolish. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. It would be foolish to say, there is no God. Jesus Christ is not God. He can't forgive sins. There is no salvation. That would make you a fool, the Bible says. But you're wise when you say, yes, that's exactly who he is, and I'm trusting in him for salvation. Okay? And these men are showing their wisdom. These men are showing that they're wise. Now look at what it says. It says, in verse 46, And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Boy, I like this next line. Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? You know, it'd be like us saying, Washington, D.C.? Anything good come out of Washington, D.C.? You know, there might be different states or different places in this country where we say, from there, really? Everybody I've known from there has been a bum. Everybody I know from there has been just awful. Really? He said, could any good thing come out of Nazareth? Oh, look what Philip said. Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Come and see. Hey, just come and look. Come and look. Come and see. Come take a look. Let me show you. Okay? He says, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? He said, When have we met? How do you know me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Another wise profession. thou art the king of Israel. Hey, everybody else didn't want him to be. Everybody else rejected him. We don't want him to reign over us. He's not going to be our king. Nathanael said, oh yeah, you're the king. You're the king of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, thou fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Let's pray one more time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. I pray you'd help me preach it and help us all to be changed by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We see this phrase more than once in this passage, come and see. Come and see. They came to their friends and they came to their relatives and they said, we found him. Messiah's here. Christ, the one we've been waiting for. The one who's going to take away the sin of the world. The one that John said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Come here, you've got to see him. You've got to see him. That's what you're doing when you witness to somebody. That's what you're doing when you hand them a gospel tract. It's what you're doing whenever you invite them to church. You're saying, come and see. Come and see. I have nothing for you. I cannot save you. I cannot forgive your sins. I cannot change your life. But I can introduce you to the man who can, but you're going to have to come and see. You're going to have to look for yourself. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus came what? To seek and to save that which is lost. He comes after us. He pursues us. But you're not getting saved until you finally stop that frantic pace that you have running away from him and you turn around and you behold him. When you turn around and look upon him and repent and put your faith and trust in him, then you can be saved, forgiven of your sins, saved and given eternal life with him one day in heaven. You're given that eternal life now when he saves you. It will just come to fruition. It will continue in heaven. Okay, when you get saved, you might die physically, but that's the only death you're ever going to see. We don't wait to have eternal life. He has given it to those who are saved. But come and see begins with salvation. I want to talk about two different things this morning. And the first one is salvation in reference to coming and seeing him. The question is this: have you come to Christ? Have you come to him? Have you fixed your eyes upon him? Hey, fixing your eyes upon him is not salvation. Repentance and faith in Jesus Christ is salvation. But you won't do that until you turn around and behold him. Until you turn around and look upon him. Come and see. Look at Matthew. We'll come back to John here in just a moment. But look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. What does Jesus say? He says, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What does Christ say to the lost person? He says, come unto me. Hey, quit running. Turn around. Look at me. You're looking in the wrong direction. You're trying to find the answer somewhere else, and the answer is only in Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, what? But by him. You have to turn around and look at him to be saved. Jesus says, come unto me. It's amazing how many things and how many people that people will run to find some kind of rest or some kind of peace. And they'll run to whoever's on the television, whoever's on the computer, whoever's in the magazines, whoever's in the newspaper. They'll run to this book and that book and this group of friends and this place over here. And they might find some temporary peace. They might find something like that. But even if they find complete and total happiness, happiness isn't getting you to heaven. You're still lost in your sins and need to be saved. And Jesus said, come unto me. You know what just stood out to me as I was reading this? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Now look, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Do you realize that everybody's carrying a yoke? Okay? Everybody's carrying a yoke. No matter who, lost or saved, you have a yoke around your neck. What does a yoke do? What do when you yoke oxen? You put that thing over their neck and it keeps two of them together so that they don't stray this way or that way. So that's what everybody's yoked up with something or somebody. Spiritually, you're either yoked up with the world or you're yoked up with Jesus Christ. Okay? You're either going to live the way of the world or you're going to live the way of Jesus Christ. You're yoked up with something. Okay? There is no middle ground. We don't have, these are yoked with the world, these are yoked with Jesus, and these just don't have a yoke. No, there is no middle ground. You've got a yoke. Okay? Jesus said if you weren't for Him, you were against Him. Okay? You're either light or dark, right or wrong. There's no straddling the fence. You might try to straddle it. You're going to be yoked up with somebody. Jesus said, come unto me. Hey, you're going to have a yoke no matter what. I'd like to have an easy one. I'd like to be yoked up with the Savior who will keep me in that right path. Okay? How about this? You yoke up a couple of oxen, they can't get away, can they? Eternal security. I'm yoked up with Jesus Christ, I can't get away from Him. I might look the other way, I might get out of fellowship with Him, but boy, I'm yoked up with Him. You can't break out of that yoke. You know why? Because it's not yours. You didn't put it on. He put it on and He fastened the lock. And you can't pick that lock. Why would you want to pick that lock? You can't get out of that yoke. Okay? Jesus says, come unto me. Come unto me. Now go back to Isaiah chapter 1. We're looking at come and see, come and see, come and see. Hey, let me say this too. We're not saying try on Jesus, give him a run, try him out and just see what you think. No, that's not how we approach Christ. That's not how we approach Christ. We're not saying, hey, give Jesus a whirl. Try Jesus for a while. It's not at all what Scripture says. Look, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. 16. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cause to do evil, cease to do evil, cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Look, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Want to have your sins forgiven? If they haven't already been, you want to be saved, you want to be on your way to heaven, you want to know beyond the shadow of a doubt, okay? Going to have to turn around, going to have to look at that one you've been running from, you're going to have to go to Him, okay? Going to have to come unto Him. Now, come and see begins with salvation. We turn around and we come and see. And back there in John, let's go back to John chapter 1. Here these men are going to their friends, they're going to their family members, and they're saying to them, come and see, we've found Him. Come and see, come and see, come and see. All right, so the question this morning begins with this. Have you come to Christ? And I'm not asking what your daddy would say. I'm not asking what mommy would say. I'm not asking what your brothers, your cousins, your co-workers. You know and Christ knows if you've come to Him. Okay? So have you come to Christ? Have you beheld Him? Have you looked upon Him as the only way to be forgiven and to be saved? Or do you think that your sins are forgiven and you're saved because you try to be a good person? You try to be a good person. You try to live right. You try to do right. There are a lot of nice people out there who don't steal. They don't kill anybody. They don't get drunk. They don't do any of that stuff. And if they died right now, they'd take their next breath in hell. Because being a good person doesn't save you. Being a good person is the result of being saved. It doesn't save you, okay? You can't be good. Only God is good. You can't have any good in you unless He saves you and puts His Holy Spirit in you, okay? What are you trusting in? Okay? Come and see does not mean I've grown up in church. Okay? It doesn't mean Grandpappy and Grandmama took me to Bible school every summer. It doesn't mean Grandmama was saved, Mommy and Daddy were saved. Oh yeah, we were raised in church. Nobody asked if you were raised in church. In church. You ask somebody, you say, are you saved? Oh yeah, I'm saved. How do you know? Well, I grew up in church. I didn't ask if you grew up in church. Well, you know, I was baptized. I didn't say anything about being baptized. Are you saved? Oh yeah, my parents, my dad, he was a preacher. I didn't ask your father's profession. Are you saved by the blood of Jesus Christ? Have you repented and put your faith in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sin and the saving of your soul? That's the question. Okay, we have this first question here. Have you come to Christ? Have you looked upon Him? Have you seen Him? Now, if that isn't settled, let me tell you this. The rest of this sermon means nothing to you. Say, Pastor, are you telling people not to listen? If that isn't settled, none of the rest of this matters yet. If that isn't settled, that has to be settled before the rest of this even applies to you. Okay? Now, if you are saved, if you have come to Christ, if you have beheld Him, if you have turned to Him, if you have turned your eyes upon Him, we sang face to face. If you have come face to face with Him and made that right decision, okay, let me ask you this. Have you stayed there? Did you keep your eyes fixed upon Him, or have you diverted your glance? Now listen, we are not talking about losing salvation. We know, and we're not going to go into it this morning, we know that the Bible tells us that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, we're kept until the day of redemption, that it's not of works, no one can pluck us out of His hands. We're not talking, I'm not asking you, have you kept yourself saved? You can't. So quit worrying about how you're going to keep yourself saved. You don't have to worry about that. That's not your job. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. That's His job, and He never shows up late for work. He never clocks in or clocks out. He's on overtime all the time. And maybe some of us may be making work harder than others. I don't know. But He's not clocking out and going home, okay? I'm not talking about losing your salvation. We're talking about fellowship, okay? Are you saved and still beholding the Savior? Are you still living? You say, Pastor, it seems like since we started John, that's all that we've been hearing is beholding the Savior, beholding the Savior. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be rude. But if that's getting old to you, if that's aggravating you, I'm not the man to talk to. Okay? Because it's Bible. This is what keeps coming up. Behold, come and see, look. This is what we need to be studying right now. And maybe if this morning you're thinking, why do we keep hearing this? Why do we keep hearing this? Maybe some of us aren't listening. He just told me I wasn't listening. I didn't say that. Maybe God keeps telling us this because we need to hear it. I don't believe God wastes his time. Okay? The fact is, a lot of people get saved. They get caught up in the rigors of work. They get caught up in raising the kids and building the house and all these things that are not sinful, but we get wrapped up in things, get wrapped up, we get busy for whatever reason, and we take our eyes off of our Savior. And we need to be told, just like a lost person, come and see. Get your eyes back where they belong. And then sometimes we let the things of the world and the world's philosophies and things that are sinful, okay, sinful pleasures of the world and its teachings and its philosophies, sometimes we let things that are sinful grab our attention. It does not matter if your attention has been arrested by something sinful or not. It doesn't matter if that thing that has taken your eyes off of the Savior is something bad or something that isn't bad. That doesn't matter. What matters is something has taken our attention off of God. And if you're here this morning and that hasn't happened to you and you're still beholding Him, then just thank God for this reminder. But if you're sitting here this morning and the Holy Spirit is convicting you saying, that's you. You have looked away from me. Then say, thank you, Lord, for convicting me and loving me enough to chasten me and get it right with God and get our eyes back where they belong. We're not talking about salvation. We are talking about fellowship. Okay? Let me ask you this. Do you remember how good the food was when you first sat down at his table? Okay. Did the menu change? Come on, I don't... All right, ladies, I'll give you about 30 seconds to stop listening because I know none of you are like this. I'm only speaking to the guys. I know that only us guys do this, okay? So you all can take a real quick little nap. If you weren't already. Now listen. There are some things that I eat purely because they taste good. Long after I'm full. Okay? Amy makes. She doesn't eat it. She's the only one in the house that doesn't eat it. She's so wonderful. She makes this and then she goes and makes something else for herself. She makes it because she knows that we like it. Shepherd's pie. And I cannot quit eating it. I can, I just don't want to. I will eat enough, and then I'm going back for more because it's just so delicious every time that I eat it. And then when you reheat it, it's still good. And there are things that some of we say, I don't know why I'm eating this. I'm not hungry. You know why you're eating it? Because it tastes good. Okay? It tastes good. Hey, look. Sometimes we stop eating because we get full. Sometimes we stop eating because we get so full we make ourselves sick. Did the food at his table, did it at some point just stop being appealing or pleasing to your taste? It didn't change. I know you didn't get full because you can't. Okay? You can't get enough of him. You can't get full. There's always more to enjoy and more that you need to learn. So what happened? What happened? Have we forgotten his goodness? Have we taken the matters of life into our own hands? Lord, I'll handle this one. I'll deal with this one. Stopped looking at him and said, I've got this. I'll handle this. I'll take care of this one. Have we taken things into our own? Hey, do you still trust Christ as much as you did when you trusted Him for salvation? Do we still trust Christ as much as we did when we first got saved? You want a few tests? what's your attitude whenever the amount that's owed is greater than the amount that's available in the checkbook? And you've been faithful, and you haven't been wasteful, and you're working, and what's your attitude? Okay? When the doctor says it's this, or it's this, or it's this, what's your attitude? Lord, whatever happens, I'm going to trust you. Whatever you decide to do here, I'm going to trust you. Or is it, we got to let 10 doctors tell us there's no hope before we go ask God if there's any hope? Look, have you stopped looking? If you're saved, there was a time when you came to see. When did you close your eyes? When did you look away? What caused you to look away, if you have looked away? Let me ask you this. Have you pushed away from the table? Have you pushed away from His table? Did you get full? That's all I want. That's all I want. I realize that sometimes we're talking about physical eating. I realize that we need to watch what we eat. We need to be careful. I understand that. I understand that, okay? I know that sometimes when someone invites you over or you invite them over for supper and then your pet, they say, I only want a little bit. I only want a little bit. But come on. Does your heart good once in a while to see somebody say, yeah, slap some more on there. Give me another big pile of them taters. And you just like to see somebody getting full and enjoying themselves. Again, maybe I'm only talking to the guys. I don't know. I mean, we sit around and like we can have whole discussions on just what the pizza tastes like. Boys and I went and got a pizza last night. Half the conversation. We'd talk about something and then we'd go back to, man, I can't believe how good that pizza is. And then we'd go on a little bit, give me another piece of that pizza. Okay. At one point there was one piece left and the boys are going, they each ate two pieces, wimps. And they're going, and I said, somebody's got to eat that last one. Alex turned green. Colin, beanpole. The skinny ones can always pack it away. He says, well, if I have to, or something like that. Let me ask you something. When you bellied up to the table when you got saved, were you not just getting it as fast as you could get it? Wait, I need some of that. Or wait, I need some of that. I want some more of that. Oh, give me a lot of that. Weren't you just, boy, it was just so wonderful. If that's not the case, what's changed? You didn't get full because you're not perfect yet. You didn't get full because we all still have things to learn. The menu didn't change. What happened? At some point, we just kind of, I don't think I want anymore. I don't think I want anymore. You know what changes? Our taste. Our taste. My wife makes some dishes that she has made for years, and I've liked them, and then at some point you say, I just don't care for it anymore. Your taste change. She's still making it the same way she's always made it, and sometimes your taste change. Hey, have your taste changed? What influenced your taste? They told their friends, they said, come and see. Nazareth, really? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Oh, come and see. I want you to see. I want you to meet Him. And they came and they saw and they said, Thou art the Christ. You're the King of Israel. You're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. You're the one we've been waiting for. Okay, have you done that? Have you come to Him and said, You are the Savior. Forgive me and save me. I repent. I trust only in Your death, burial, and resurrection. If you've done that, has your gaze remained fixed upon Him? Or did a point come where you said, I think I want to eat somewhere else? Well, the menu didn't change, and you didn't get all you needed. Our taste have changed. Psalm 34. I know I've said it over and over and over again, but it all comes down to where you're looking. What are you looking at? Where are we looking? Who have we fixed our sights upon? Our gaze. Psalm 34. Beginning in verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Look, he said, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. David says, I'm not going to stop praising Him. And you know what? If you keep your eyes on Him and you keep looking at Him and you keep seeing Him, you won't stop praising Him. You can't help but praise Him. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. David says, come on, let's praise Him together. Let's talk about Him together. Let's magnify Him together. Let's get together on this thing. And let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Hey, maybe that's the problem. Maybe some of us have become ashamed of Him. This poor man cried. I like that. This poor man cried. By the way, David's not talking about some other poor man. He's pointing at himself saying, this poor man right here. Remember last week, the witness of John the Baptist? Humility begins with humility. He says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of a few of his troubles. No. Saved him out of most of his troubles. Saved him out of all but one of his troubles. Hey, what's your Bible say? It says, saved him out of all his troubles. All of them. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Okay, you say, well, but Pastor, verse 6, saved him out of all of his troubles. I still have problems. I still have troubles. Yeah, you'll still experience troubles. We still experience problems. There's no promise in Scripture saying you won't have any problems or troubles, but you've been saved from them. They can't destroy you. They can't get the best of you. They can't defeat you. Because no matter what happens, no matter what trouble comes, if you're saved, you leave every one of them behind when you enter into heaven. It's already been taken care of. Yeah, you might have to endure some stuff here and go through some troubles and everything, but they're not going to defeat us. They're not going to have the final say. We're going to heaven and they'll all be left here and we can say, He saved me out of all my troubles. Gave me eternal life. Those troubles aren't going to harm me anymore. They're not going to take me to hell. He saved me out of all my troubles. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Notice He doesn't say, taste and see what you think about the Lord. Taste and see if you agree with me that the Lord's... No, He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Sometimes we'll bring, you know, a piece of pie or cookie or something to somebody and we'll say, here, see if you like this. Here, try this and tell me if you like it. And then some of us like something so much, we hand it to somebody and we say, you're going to like this. I know you're going to like this. Don't you hate it when people tell you that and you take a bite of it and it's the nastiest thing? That tells me what you think of me. You thought I'd like this trash? Okay, here, taste this. See, you're going to like it. You're going to like it. We can't say that about... We don't know for sure. That person might not like that piece of cake. They might not like that slice of beef. They might not. Okay? But when it's Jesus Christ, we can say, He's good. He's good. Okay? taste and see that the Lord is good. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about tasting. Talking about food, and then we're going to have a business meeting and keep you here forever. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil, all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know what I like about that? It says, if you've tasted, then you ought desire more from Him. One bite can't be enough. We're not talking about staying saved. We're talking about fellowship, walking in the Spirit, living the way God wants us to do, letting Him be in control. Have you tasted? Was one bite enough? How could it be? I mean, come on, you can look at me and tell that one bite is never enough. But how many people starving spiritually when it's their fault they just shoved away from the table. They just chose to shove away from the table. They didn't lose their salvation. They just decided to, I want to eat somewhere else. I want to eat somewhere else. I want that instead. Yeah, and it never satisfies, does it? It never satisfies. Okay. Has He left a lasting impression? Look what Peter says. He says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Okay, if you're saved, did He leave a lasting impression on you? Did He leave that lasting impression? Go back there to John chapter 1. The last thing we'll look at is this. You know why He's worthy of our constant, fixed, undivided attention? Well, to start with, if He's provided salvation. If you're saved, that's all you need right there. But who in here could not say, you know what, He didn't stop at salvation. He went on and blessed me in this way, in that way, in that way, in that way. Put air in my lungs, gave me a job, gave me a family. Did all these wonderful things for me. Let me wake up this morning. Okay? I didn't have to walk here. Didn't have to ride a horse here. Well, Jonathan walked here, but he didn't have to. He could have driven. And we all would have made fun of him if he did. John 1, verse 50 and 51. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. He saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Hey, He has saved us, and that's great enough for us to keep our eyes fixed upon Him. But then He goes beyond that. And then He gives us blessings beyond that. I want to look at just a few more quick scriptures, and then we'll be done. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And 25. Oh, what's He done for me? Okay, did He save you? And if this morning, if you say, you know what, I'm not saved. Well, He's provided salvation for you. You can be saved. You can be saved. Okay, and then if you are saved, that's enough right there, because that's more than we deserve. But what's He done beyond that? He didn't stop there, did He? He didn't stop. He makes intercession for us every day. That's how we stay saved. Sealed us with the Holy Spirit, makes intercession for us, keeps us saved. Look at this, though. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, for what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Hey, God takes care of the birds, and he's going to take care of you. You mean more to him than the birds. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? What's your worrying going to do about all these temporal things? You ever worried yourself into a bigger paycheck? You ever worried yourself out of a late overdue gas bill? No, you just wasted a bunch of time and worried yourself into a nervous breakdown, didn't you? Because we didn't trust him. Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? God looks after his creation and the earth and everything. He'll look after what he created in his own image even more. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know what that means? Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. That means, hey, don't worry about tomorrow. There's enough going on today. Don't worry about tomorrow. There's enough going on today. Okay? Has he saved you? If you're saved, did he stop there? Or does he clothe you? Does he feed you? Does he meet all of these needs? Over in chapter 10, look what he says. 10 and 28. Yeah, that's what I want. 10 and 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Hey, if he's taking care of all of these things, will he not take care of us? Let's close in Ephesians chapter 3. All right, what has Christ done? He's provided salvation. Have you looked at him? Have you turned to him? Did you come and see? Okay, if you're saved, did he stop there? Or does he keep meeting your needs? Does he keep blessing you? Does he keep is he good? Taste and see that the Lord is good. He is, isn't he? Okay? Now look. Why should I keep beholding him? Why should I keep looking at him? Look here, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That's why he's worthy of our constant, undivided attention. He's saved us. He never changes. He never lets us down. He's faithful. We let him down. We're unfaithful. He saved us. He keeps us. He meets our needs. There's never a change in our Heavenly Father. There's never a change in our Savior. There's never a change in the Holy Spirit, is there? Okay? So if you have taken your eyes off of him, it's not because he did something to cause you to take your eyes off of him. It's not because he changed. The change is on our part. We've let something else get our attention. We've let something else turn our eyes away. Hey, We have no right asking Him to do anything in our lives if we won't even look in His direction. We have no right. Let's get our eyes back. Let's come and see. You say, I did. Are you still looking? Are we still looking? It all depends on where we look. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. You know the work that needs to be done in every one of our hearts, in my heart, and in the hearts of everyone in this building this morning. I pray that You would do that work. If there's someone that's not saved, that they would be convicted of salvation. And those that are saved, Lord, if there are those who haven't taken their eyes off of Your Son, I pray that You would just encourage them to continue. If there are those who have, I pray that You would convict the hearts, Lord, and just deal with each and every one of us how we need to be dealt with this morning, because only You know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.